marks 6 years. That is a celebration. I don't know what you were doing when you were six, but we can now recognize what we have done, what God has been able to do here at Reliance for the last 6 years. So we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to reshape things. What we're going to do today in our service is we want to stop, and you're going to be given a little booklet here, and I'm going to describe that here in a second. But today is a celebration. And so today, what we've typically done as a church is we've stopped today to reflect about what God has done us with us as a people. So tonight, the way that we celebrate is through a picnic. And we would love for you to come out. We'll have some games. If you want to see my soccer skills, then this would be the night to come and test them. I have never lost. once. But then the referee called the win in my favor because there was a penalty. No, I don't know. But tonight, we have lots of fun and we have lots of food. The rules, we recognize as Reliance has grown, that we need help with these potlucks. And so Danielle and her team are going to be making a dinner, a main course for us. And so she has asked that we bring a side. And so the rules for a potluck, I'm still learning, and so that when you bring a side, you're bringing a side that will feed your family so that everybody has enough. If I bring just a couple things and my family eats all of that, there's not enough sides to go around. And I'm at a disadvantage because I got a large family, right? But I hope you might sign up, bring a dish tonight, get to delight and joy and fellowship and work. And celebrating our 6 years. As another mark is every service, when we do this, we come out with a new shirt. This year, we came out with a shirt with a mountain on it, remembering what God has done in the last year, allowing God to allow us to buy this building and the land surrounding it. And so, man, we're thrilled. We're genuinely thrilled that you're here this morning. And I think one of the challenges and why you have this booklet is something happened early on this year. And I want to explain this. And I know it's tempting to look at it right now. But I know I'm a teacher. You hand the syllabus at the end of the class. But one of the things that happened early on this year is I walked out of a membership class that Adam and I had taught. And one of the many reasons why we do membership classes is to try to express who we are as a people. And I walked through that membership class with Adam, and I went home, and I was incredibly dissatisfied. And I was actually disappointed. And many of you guys have gone through this membership class yourself. And you're like, what was wrong with it? Well, I don't know. One, we want everyone here who commits to this community to be excited about the history of what God has been doing through this people. And as I reflected on the way that we were articulating in that membership class, we were doing it inadequately. So much to the extent of not showing how we invite people into this story of what God has been doing. So I felt we were doing, one, a bad job of describing where we've come from. Two, it is our process, when we think about us as a people, we want to accurately show our convictions, how we express them, and we want to show people what the community of Reliance is all about. And one of the things that as I was reflecting on the way that we've been handling our discussion as committed members or devoted believers in Christ together is we were doing a bad job at showing what it means and what we delight in as a community of people who delight in Christ and each other. And three, and this is probably the most important one, I want you to hear me, it shouldn't take someone going to membership class to clearly understand the convictions of the leadership of this church. And I recognize that as people come in and they fellowship and they watch us minister, before someone tries to figure out what is their relationship with this community of people, I believe that people should know clearly about our convictions before they decide how they go be a part of this community. And so, with all of that, we canned the membership class. It's gone. That's probably heavy words, right? No, we wanted to reshape it and say, we're going to put what we're very, really convicted by on the front end and leave it to those who are considering their involvement or reliance on the front end and let you guys make that decision. So there's probably a number of people in this group. You're like, I thought about becoming a committed member of this church. That's fine. For many of you, you are members of this church. This service of reflections over 6 years, what God has done, we want to remind you of the commitments that you have made to each other. The reason why we make people stand up here and say, hey, we are committing to Christ, to following him together as a people. We want today to stop as a community and say, this is what we have stopped, or this is what we have agreed to hold each other accountable towards. Now, if you are not a member, this has been designed for you to know who we are. We want you to know who we are. And as a result of knowing who we are, we're going to let that be, allow that to be as you contemplate and pray about who God, what God would allow you to be involved here at this people. But we want you to know our convictions, and we want to clearly articulate those with clarity. So with all that said, it's a unique service. I think it's a celebration service. 6 years. It's been an incredible delight to walk with such an incredible people who love Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so I want to show you our history.
I think the thing that I am still continually amazed at is there's two young men that felt God's call, and out of obedience and passion and just a sense of calling, brought their families here and began this journey called Reliance Fellowship. And I know that the strength of biblical teaching and preaching and for equipping God's people to impact their communities as their heart and their ministry here at Reliance. The journey of Reliance Fellowship started at Dallas Theological Seminary, and Jacob Morris and Adam Bonus became very close friends as they attended seminary together, and they really, as they grew closer together, really felt God's call and passion to church plant in the Pacific Northwest. And so these two young men, out of obedience, graduated in 2013, moved their families here to the Tri-City area, planted Reliance Fellowship.
So Reliance Fellowship started actually in Barracuda Coffee, where I've worked for the past 9 years. And in the summer of 2013, like about 8 to 10 of us packed in that little coffee shop and had our very first service. And pretty much we didn't really have a projector and equipment or whatever. We just kind of had a TV and a pastor. And we had a guy playing guitar, and it was packed in there. At most, we had 15, 20 people. But given the small amount of resources that we had, God still used it to grow from there by leaps and bounds. And it was really cool to be a part of that in the very early beginning and just watch it grow.
Early in the life of Reliance, we actually met at Gather for Him Christian College in the garage. There was a big door behind Jacob as he preached, and you could hear the kids next door. It was a really awkward space, but it was also great because in a church like that, it's got to be about Christ. And that was what was so great about that time, is that's what we had, and that's what our focus on was on Christ and what he was doing in this small group of believers that was gathering on Sundays. It was a great time, even though it was awkward.
How did I hear about Reliance? I heard about Reliance a couple different ways. The first way was that I was attending a church temporarily, and Adam came and spoke as a guest speaker. And the second way I heard about Reliance was a relative in-law told me about it and said this ought to be a good place for Naomi and Sean to come, and so I directed them here and then I followed them. What I expected at Reliance, honestly, was to be disappointed. Over time, I learned that Reliance was very strong on their Bible teaching, and their preaching was good, and the people were very friendly, and I got to know people and became comfortable. What am I doing now? Well, I've become an elder of the church, which surprised me. And what I'm looking forward to here is the growth that we have going on and the continued spreading of the gospel and watching it grow. It's really been fun. Watching what God is doing has really been fun.
Reliance Fellowship has become a people who delight in God's word through the preaching, the teaching in life groups, and the fellowship that we have with one another, and that works itself out as people follow up on what they hear on Sunday morning through the discussions they have in life groups and the life-on-life relationships they have with each other.
Community matters a lot to us, and since coming to Reliance, we have been able to find that community very easily. It's natural, and we just have gotten great responses from people every time we try to grow it in some way or another.
Mm-hmm. And most of those relationships were established through serving in the church, and it's just been a great way to see people living out the gospel, and it's been really important for us, and we've really enjoyed that.
Reliance has become a community that is out in the bigger community, serving people, working with a ton of different people groups, whether it's teen moms, crisis pregnancy centers, or refugees, and the community has really been encouraged by our leadership to go out and do these things as well.
Through the years, quite a few things have changed for Reliance Fellowship. From just a few people meeting in a coffee shop to a large crowd meeting in a building that we own, we've seen this dream become a reality. And yet a few things have stayed the same. We still have a deep love for people and a desire for them to know and experience the love of Jesus Christ. We still deeply care for one another, and we're still a people who delight in God's word. And so Psalm chapter 1 says, "How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." And that's who we've always wanted to be as Reliance Fellowship, and it's a great joy that that is who we have become.
You should know, and if you guys have witnessed and been a part of our ministry or been our fellowship, we have deep convictions for God's word. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of the sinner, nor sit in the seat of the scoffer. And this is the heartbeat of what we have and delight to become as a people. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And his law, he meditates on it day and night. And we honestly believe he will be like a tree, firmly planted by streams of water, which yield its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. It has always been, and I pray for the generations even after this community, that it will be our shameless, unwavering conviction that our precious time together that we have, which would include Sunday mornings and in our small groups, that it is committed to fixing our eyes upon the Word of God, which accurately reveals Christ to us. It has always been our shameless, unwavering conviction that our precious time together should be used to fixate our eyes in the midst of a world which is continually attempting to fix our eyes off of Christ. That our time is limited and precious, that we have to use our time to use this. There's a reason that I do not preach from a phone. There's a reason that I don't preach from an iPad. because I do not want any guests, any regular fellowship member or attendee of Reliance to be confused of where they find life. And I know in the midst of a progressive world, there would be those who disagree, but that is fine. We want you to know what we're reading from. In the midst of the time when you need to flee from sin, where to go? There's a reason why we use our Bibles. And we call our people to bring their Bibles. These words give life. And you should know that is our conviction. I hope you've witnessed it. One of the reasons why we do this is because we know our Savior and Lord declared that all of it pointed to Him. After His resurrection, He gathered the disciples together. You remember this, right? And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, He explained to them the things concerning Himself in all Scripture. And so we recognize that His word points to Him. Understanding His word is understanding Christ correctly. And so our precious time, as little as it is, we have to look at God's word. And there's no shame in that from its leadership, in this leadership of this church, calling us as a people to become a people who delight in His word regularly. Think of Psalms 19, the language that's used there. How blessed is the man who delights in the instructions of the Lord. The instructions of God are perfect. They are sure. They are right. They have the ability to show and enlighten the mind, the eyes. Then verse 7, they are more desirable than gold. Yes, yes, than much fine gold. Sweeter than also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. I fear that we live in a generation that does not present this to its people, have become a people that have settled for the world's treasures or golds, that have no ability or even competition with this. And so, if you know the leadership and you've known the community, it is our desire that you recognize that we are people that are convicted by this. And we sit before this. And that we as a people are replaceable. But this will never be. And we live in a world that will be competing with this treasure. And so we as a people acknowledge this. This is more valuable than football. It's more valuable than sleep. It's more valuable than the greatest relationships you have. And you will find it that it tears your friendships apart. Families, because this is what is more desirable. And when you do, we honestly believe, because it says so, that you will be a tree. And this ministry is designed and desired to make not shrubs, trees. That in the season, it allows that we will be as a people yielding fruit. So if you've watched us, even in our worship time when we sing, I tend to think of worship as the whole service. When I say worship, we think of praise, the songs. But even in the songs, you'll recognize that there is scripture all through it. Why? We got to squeeze as much as we can into it. It's our delight, and we want that to be your delight, our delight, so that we can actually sing from a mindset that is true. We squeeze it in as much as in our smallest groups. We are trying to convict our hearts by it. And I want to make a quick clarification. When it comes to the teaching or the preaching of God's word, we are not trying to merely teach it. There are many scholarships there. That's not the aim on Sunday mornings. The aim on Sunday morning is for, or in our small groups, is for convictional teaching and preaching. The aim of what we have said as a people is that when we come before God's word, we are allowing this to change us, which requires us to be convicted by it, which requires us to come with a mindset of being ready to ask the one simple question every Sunday: what is God calling me today to change to that would be more aligned with His word, which would also make me more like Christ? I don't know if any of that. This is the stewardship of the church, is to preach this in the midst of a world where there is wicked, sinners who scoff at God's instructions. And as a people, we delight, oh, we delight in His Word. And we know it is the only thing that can genuinely bear eternal fruits. It's our conviction. So our time, if I were to say my little piece this morning on Sunday mornings, is to try to communicate in this scripture in a way that we all leave, not with guilt. There might be some Sundays where we have that. With a joy of finding something true about God and aligning ourselves to that. Giving up of fear, throwing aside anxiety to trust in the Lord in all things and acknowledge Him. To recognize that I have settled for golds of the world and to realize the truths of God has put before us in His Word are so much more valuable. We've always had a dream. And I think it's been so much fun to see it take place, even in the last 6 years, that whoever's teaching the Word of God, who is convictionally calling us to it, that we would be a people ready to hear it. We believe that. We live in a world where it's not presented that way or understood that way. I'm so grateful for 6 years that is what we are. Even in our small groups, we allow the people to convict us with His Word. So we take what we do on Saturday nights very seriously, so that our minds be attentive on Sunday mornings, because our time is precious together. It is our conviction. If we are adults who walk by the Spirit, delighting in His Word every Sunday and in our small groups, we might become a people who then, and only then, know what it means to love one another. But this is not just an adult desire. This is something that we also desire in our kids' ministry as well.
I get the privilege of being a part of an amazing ministry, our kids. Our mission of our kids is to walk alongside our families as they disciple their own kiddos, and so that their kiddos may pursue Christ for their whole life. We do this in a couple of different ways through our ministry. Every Sunday morning when kiddos come, they are provided with lessons that are engaging for them, but that they're teaching the biblical stories. And that our goal is that by the time that these kiddos reach sixth grade, that they've heard the entire stories of the Bible twice in their time there. Not only are they hearing the Bible stories, but each Bible story, the gospel is always incorporated. This is so that students can deepen their understanding of the gospel, allowing them to articulate it for themselves, to respond for themselves, which would lead them towards that next step of baptism if they go that direction. Additionally, by the time that kiddos reach sixth grade, it's our desire that they would be prepared to hear God's word in this setting, in the larger adult gatherings, and that they would be ready to serve anywhere throughout the church that's needed for them. And just like Jacob said, it's not just our conviction for our adults, but for our children as well, that if we are to be a people delighting in God's word, walking by the Spirit, that we would be a people and children who love each other.
Seeing them hooked up to all that stuff, like, that sucks. Yeah, it's pretty scary. That's not a fun experience. I think once we were at the hospital, I don't think that his life was in danger or anything like that, but it was still
once we were at the hospital,
pretty rough to see him in that situation, because he had no idea what was going on. There was nothing that we could do to help him.
Gideon was born in October, and the first time he started getting sick was Thanksgiving. It was Thanksgiving Day. And he just started getting like super sick, and he never really got better. Stuffy nose. We kept taking him to the doctor. He'd have like ear infections and coughing and stuffy nose. The stuffy nose just never ever went away, and it kept progressively getting worse until it was Valentine's Day when we had to take him to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Because he was having difficulty breathing. We're at the hospital. He was clearing up, like his stuffy nose kind of was going away, and he was starting to breathe again. They gave him some steroids or something to help clear stuff, and then they sent us home because he was doing better. And then that night, he started getting worse right away, and we ended up taking him back to the ER the next morning.
And he was hooked up on oxygen, with it dropping and spiking and dropping and spiking the whole time. Through that whole process, we realized that where we were staying wasn't a healthy environment for him, and he was getting sick because of where we were, and so we had to up and move, which was pretty scary because we
didn't have anywhere to
go. Didn't have anywhere to go, so
we didn't want to go back to the house where he would get sick again. Because once we left the hospital, he was doing well and he was breathing, and we were afraid to go back. We tested it. We got a hotel for a week, and he was doing great. Like, he was, the stuffy nose that went away, he was sleeping, he wasn't crying all the time. He was a normal baby. And so that week in the hotel really like kind of confirmed like there was something where we were that was making him sick.
And we realized that we couldn't go back to where we came from, but we didn't have anywhere to go to. So we were kind of homeless.
While we were in the hospital, our small group was super involved in all of that. They were texting us. They were stopping in at the hospital. Bringing us meals, asking, you know, if Amira was safe. I guess word spread in Reliance. And so, like, up until this point, like, Reliance has been awesome because, like, when we were in the hospital, I don't think we paid for a single meal.
And then someone heard about the housing issue, and they said that we could stay with them. They had two bedrooms on the other side of the house. Luckily for them, because our kids are loud, they like to scream a lot. They were super generous in opening up their home to us for, I think, 4 or 5 months. Because they knew the need, and they wanted to show us that love. Mm-hmm. And give us a chance to get on our feet. Yeah, through the network, we found out about a couple who was going to the mission field and looking to rent a condo that they had bought and renovated specifically to rent to support them on the mission field. And as we were talking with them, we realized that it was a total God thing that he was setting up before we even knew Gideon was sick. That they were looking for somebody to move into their place and take care of it, and to help support them on the mission field, while also loving on their neighbors that they had already started building relationships with. And somebody at Reliance knew them, introduced us, and said, hey, this would be a good fit. They gave us a reference, and it really, the timing couldn't have been more perfect, which is crazy. Just seeing God's hand working behind the scenes through everything. And through the people. It's awesome.
Where's Peekaboo? Where's Gideon? Peekaboo! Where's Gideon? Where's Gideon? Peekaboo! Where's Gideon?
So one of the things that I love about the story there is, you know, Brandon and Lisa received all that help from this community, from folks here at Reliance, And so many of those folks had stepped in. So much of that had taken place before Jacob and I were even really aware of what was going on. It was people here at Reliance loving on Brandon and Lisa, and it was such an amazing thing to see. From Reliance, Brandon and Lisa received, and they didn't mention this in there, but they received 5 different offers for temporary housing from folks here in the church. A few folks gave up their Saturday to help them move. Several folks visited them in the hospital when Gideon was there. Lots of people were praying, and all of it happened so naturally. So we didn't have like an organized hospital visitation program that stepped up and decided to go visit them. We didn't have a housing assistance program that was in place to help them. What we had was a bunch of people who just loved Brandon and Lisa and were there to help them. And it was just amazing. And it reminds me of what you saw at the end of that video, Romans 12:10. And it's just such a beautiful verse. In the context, Paul has, the first 11 chapters of Romans, Paul has just finished this extraordinary presentation of the gospel. And he's shown how God has redeemed for himself a people through the finished work of Jesus Christ. And then in chapter 12, when he gets to that point, Paul goes on to describe how we as believers should now respond, now that we've been redeemed and set apart for God. What does it look like to be the people of God? And so in chapter 12, we're given a whole list of ways that our faith should be lived out and how our faith in Christ really should influence the relationships that we have with others, with each other. And so in verse 10, we're given this command, and it's a command that kind of presupposes something. So we're told, be devoted to one another with brotherly love. Now, if we're going to be devoted to one another with that kind of a love, that means that we have to actually like know each other, right? You have to know if somebody's in need. You have to know if there's a hurt or a time of difficulty. We need to know and really care about how people are doing in life. And so when the need arises, like it did with Brandon and Lisa, you ought to know enough of what's going on that you can jump in and help. Now, the New Testament's actually full of commands like these. Sometimes we call these the one another commands. And there's a whole list of these. And let me just read a couple of these. We're told to encourage one another, to pursue what is good for one another, to carry one another's burdens, to bear patiently with one another, and to forgive one another. And maybe you've noticed this, but most of that stuff doesn't occur on Sunday morning. Some of it does, but to really know people, it's really easy, and you guys probably are aware of this, but it's really easy to come in Sunday morning and then take off right after the service and not really have depth of relationship there, right? And our desire is that we could be fulfilling what the New Testament is calling us to, that we would be loving one another and caring for one another and forgiving one another. You know, you have to know someone fairly well for them to step on your toes so that then you need to forgive them, right? And so all of these presuppose that there's a depth of relationship there. And so for us, we don't really believe that you're fully involved here at Reliance and really living out what God has called you to until you're doing more than just showing up on a Sunday morning. So that brings us to the second priority for us, and this is in that booklet that you have there. The booklet is designed to kind of walk you through the convictions that we have as a people. The second priority that's listed for us is that at Reliance we are devoted to one another. Now, that's easy to say, right? It's really easy to say that we're devoted to one another, but how do we really live that out? And honestly, the main way that that gets lived out in our community is through our life groups. And so life groups, most of you are involved in one. These are small weekly gatherings where we help each other live by faith in Christ. It's where those deeper relationships occur. It's where we get to care for one another at a much more personal level and carry one another's burdens and all of that. And so your main experience of fellowship and true community here at Reliance is probably going to be through your life group. And something that's just been amazing for us is that about 80 to 90% of our adults are involved in life groups. And so that's extraordinary. I don't know if you realize that, but that means most of the adults here in our church are regularly, on a weekly basis, living out this commitment to each other and spending time with each other and looking for opportunities to care for each other. So let me just share a couple. There's a few intentional things we've done with our life groups. And I just want to share this with you. One of the things is that we try to keep the right balance in our life groups between fellowship and Bible study. It's really easy to go to the extreme on either one of those, to drift into like the hangout group where you watch football all the time and it really doesn't have anything to do with Christian stuff. Or to turn into the Bible lecture series where you don't really know each other. But we're trying to get the right balance there, because what we really hope is that you will know and love and care for each other, but also that God's word is going to inform how you do that, right? So we want the right balance there. Another thing is that most of our groups are multi-generational, and that's on purpose. We believe that the generations can learn a lot from each other. So in Titus chapter 2, Paul instructs the older women to teach the younger women. Same applies for men, that same principle. And so we really want it to be multi-generational. I remember being in a young married's small group, and it was like the blind leading the blind. None of us knew what we were doing, right? What do you do when you have kids? I don't know. We're just trying to make it through. But I think when we separate the age groups out too much, we do ourselves a disservice. The third thing I would say is that our Bible studies are heavily bent toward application. And the reason for that is what Paul says in 1 Timothy 1:5. He says, "The goal of our instruction is love, from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith." So our life groups are not about making smarter Christians or Bible scholars. Our goal is to make obedient, reproducing followers of Christ. We want you to actually live out Christ's command to love one another. So we have our life groups. We also offer some other groups on different topics. So periodically we'll have classes on parenting or marriage or finances. We'll have grapple classes where you can dig in deep and really wrestle through some topics on a specific doctrine or an aspect of our faith. But with all of these, the goal is that God's word will transform us and cause us to live out this life of worship. And so we want you to know your Bible, obviously, right? That's delighting in God's word. But it's more than just knowing it. We want it to apply to your life. And so James 1:22 says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says." And so if you want to be a follower of Christ, you have to actually follow, right? That's kind of implied there. And so that really brings me to the third priority for us at Reliance. And so at Reliance, we're committed to impacting our community for Christ. And so historically, the church has always had this love for the Lord and this love for one another. You've got this kind of the vertical relationship with God, the horizontal relationship with each other. But that love for each other doesn't just stop with the folks in this room. Like, oh, I'm sorry, you're not in here. That doesn't count, right? No, the love is going to overflow beyond just this community to reaching others. I want to show a few pictures for you of some folks from our church who are serving in the community. And what you're going to see here is that we have quite a few of our folks. You're going to recognize a few of these faces. Quite a few of our folks are serving with Christ-centered, life-changing, nonprofit ministries here in the Tri-Cities. And why do we do this? We don't give out stickers. Like, there's not like some kind of chart where you're getting points here. Why do people do this? I think there's two reasons. First, we love these people. We genuinely love these people, and we want them to know the same joy that we have in Christ. And so in 1 John 4:19, it says, "We love because he first loved us." And so our love for others is rooted in our understanding and experience of God's love for us and what Christ has done for us. And the more we understand that, the more that's going to overflow in a love for others. So we love because he first loved us. But the second reason that we want to impact our community is so that Christ will receive praise. Right? So yes, we love these people, but it's also about worship for our Lord. And so in Psalm 67, I love Psalm 67, by the way, but in that psalm, we find these remarkable words coming from the nation of Israel. It says, "God be gracious to us and bless us, and cause his face to shine upon us. Why? That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. And so God blesses the nation of Israel, but that wasn't the end goal. God wanted to extend that blessing to all the peoples of the earth. And in the end, all people groups would know and experience how good our God really is. And so our desire to impact our community for Christ is motivated by a desire that all people would know the love of Christ and then worship him. That it would return to Christ as praise, because he is worthy. And so what I want you to see is we've kind of outlined these 3 points here, right? Delighting in God's word, devoted to one another, committed to impacting our community for Christ. All of that is about worship. Okay, so we delight in God's word so that we can know him more fully and live lives that honor him. We're devoted to one another so that we can be the kind of people that he's called us to be. And we're committed to impacting our community for Christ because we want all people everywhere to experience the good news of the gospel and to worship our Lord. And the reason for that is because he is worthy. Yeah.
So how are we doing? I mean, it's hard to think about the church and not make it a program. And we live in a world today where we make the ministry of the church a resource. What I mean by that, a resource that you're looking as you come before a people, how will they help me with my job? Or being a good father, or a good husband, or we look at the leadership and how they might help with my marriage. And it becomes this unhealthy relationship. And we do. The relationship is to be devoted with one another. But as Christ has articulated in Matthew, we see each other as Christ, not considering ourselves superior to the other, but inferior, and deliberately trying to find ways to serve them, knowing that as we take that banner, we are serving Christ himself. And so people are not resources. They are people to be loved. And how do you program that? When we talk about it and saying, well, we have life groups, but they're more than just a program. We're trying to be something devoted to one another. When we come together on Sunday mornings, we're not just trying to listen and make it through a sermon. Trying to delight in his word. And we recognize that everybody's at a different journey in their spiritual walk with Christ. And so if you have committed yourself to this church, I just want you to ask yourself, where are you at? Have you fallen into the temptation of making the life of Christ and the fellowship of this unity a ritual, a program, that you've lost the joy of delighting in his word? Or just, you have to ask and reflect. Has this become duty? The way that you drive to small group, is that a duty? Or do you believe that we are rooting ourselves to be trees that can bear fruit? If you're not a member, you know where we're discipling people. I hope that's clear. That's where we're taking people. And that's where we delight taking people. And so for you now, it's trying to figure out what that role is and that involvement. And so we have needs. So what we're doing today is a little different, I know. If you have a question for the elders, they're going to be over there in the other room after the service, and you can ask them anything. I dare you to stump them. if you want a theological discussion, we will be present. We love to answer our anything there. They want to make yourself available and to help you try to figure out where you fit into this church. If you're, maybe you went through the membership class and you just haven't kind of begun the process of serving this people or finding a place to get involved in this community. We have needs in this church, our kids' ministry. We need needs there. In the worship setting as a whole on Sunday mornings, we need help with little stuff like coffee or greeting or slides or whatever. What's your step? And so we want you to respond to that. And then there's fun stuff over there. Get a shirt, right? Or a decal. We want to be more than just a program. We want to be, as we talked about last week, a people who are set apart for God's work, to glorify Him. And we finished with Matthew 16 a couple weeks ago, and we remind ourselves again today, Christ declared, I will build my church. And in the last 6 years, we can honestly say,